comes down to this, what every player hopes for every season, a shot at the NBA World Championship.
Of course you're nervous. You're supposed to be. We all have felt the nerves, but it didn't matter.
5 seconds to go. Magic with a hook shot, scores with two.
Because once you hit that court, you realize that you're home.
Jordan, Chicago.
This is what you do, and all those nerves fade. There's two different types of hunger. The hunger to win it for the first time, joining the company of legends. Then there's the hunger to make it back. Because once you taste it,
it looks so much better in person too.
You'll do anything to get it again. But no matter where your hunger comes from, you're gonna need it.
Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
And get the people! Give the people what they want.
The NBA Finals are here. We're hyped for them. And we have one of the most important players in the series, Stephen Curry, talking about the matchup against the Celtics. Let's listen to Wardell.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough-nosed organization that's got a lot of history and a certain way of doing things that they've carried throughout the years. Big bodies, pretty physical brand of basketball that, you know, we're no stranger to. But there's always been, you know, battles. I know somebody was talking about their record against us in Coach Kerr era or something like that. They've had some success, but it's totally different when you get into a – I'm excited about a playoff series where there's in-game and in-series adjustments happen. And, you know, even being in Boston in that arena with that, you know, very unique atmosphere. So it should be fun.
Jalen, one of the keys to this series, as Stephen just spoke about, was the physicality of the Celtics against that sort of movement, motion offense of the Warriors. What do you think about what Steph just said?
I think when he talked about the atmosphere at Boston when they get there, he's talking about the 17 banners that are hanging. That's exactly what he's talking about. In a history of a franchise and a fan base, and now the players who inherit the opportunity to hang another one. And the one thing about Steph, he understands he really was a unanimous MVP. He's won it two times. He's won three championships, so he got it before KD. He would love to get one after. But you know what else he knows that he's missing? A Finals MVP. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing I want to promise you, Steph. The voters know the assignment this time. Like, I would have voted for you last time. You know what I'm saying? I would have voted for you last time, but I think only like 10 or 12 people vote for that. But in all honesty, like, the difference in offense is like the difference between life and death. When you were playing against Miami, Jimmy isn't a range shooter. He doesn't move a lot without the ball. He isn't coming off dribble handoff really or down screens to get points. These are all of the things that the Golden State Warriors and their best player, Stephen Curry, is doing. And the one thing about the greatness of the Golden State Warriors is usually your best player needs to dominate the ball. They're the opposite. So as it relates to catch and shoot, not overhandling. The Golden State Warriors are the best in the league at doing that and keeping the floor spread. So you got Wiggins slashing. You got Kuminga slashing. And then you got Draymond playmaking and everybody catching and shooting. It's like being in a rural area and then all of a sudden you in the bright lights of New York City. And it's just like cars everywhere, subways downstairs. It's just like everything chaotic. That's what the Golden State Warriors offense is like. This is going to be a total different mental makeup defensively for the Boston Celtics. And the beauty of it being the NBA Finals, I believe they're up for the challenge.
And we're going to talk about a bunch of matchups, but one of the key matchups is going to be Marcus Smart guarding Stephen Curry. He has had some success when he guards Curry, and there's also some history there. Let's not forget that Marcus Smart was involved in the play that injured Steph Curry that led to him missing about a month's worth of games. Do you think Marcus Smart is up to the task of stopping Stephen Curry?
He better be. And I heard some competitive shade that Steph also threw at the Celtics and at Marcus Smart for that matter. He was like, basically, I hear that they have a winning record against us, the only one in the Steve Kerr era. But they ain't in our conference, and they don't see us that much, and we ain't never played them in the playoffs, so that don't matter. That's basically what he was saying. And we got three championships, and they have no playoff experience. But all of this plays. So now Marcus Smart propels from these scenarios and becomes the defensive player of the year. Like, the Celtics had to reimagine their season and how they were doing things. And they add Derek White, who was terrific at playing quality minutes. You develop Grant Williams, who's playing good minutes. Time Lord has been in and out of lineup. I saw him limping. So I'm glad Robert Williams III get a few days, because he's going to need them. But again, like, the Marcus Smart is a barometer, Jacoby, because Steph is a splash. He's a crash type of point guard. they're doing it in different ways, right? Smart is out there to defend. Steph is out there to have unlimited range. And so this is going to be terrific for Smart as a challenge, because each time, Klay's catching, shooting, pulls off the dribble.
Yep.
Steph Curry is catching, shooting, and off the dribble. So for the Celtics, their defense is going to be challenged, but Jaylen Brown has stepped up defensively. Jason Tatum has stepped up defensively. I mentioned White. I mentioned Smart. And then their big switch well with Al Horford and Time Lord blocking at the rim. And so they're going to be ready for the challenge. It's going to be a great defensive and offensive matchup by both teams.
Another key matchup that we need to highlight are Draymond Green and Al Horford's impact on these teams. Both of those players might not have the stats that some of the stars on the team have, but they have the impact that anyone else has on the team. As you saw that block right there, one thing I want to point out about this block is he got a broken pinky. Like we've seen this replay so many times. Look at that pinky. Come on, Al. Yeah, get that thing fixed. But what do you think about the Al Horford, Draymond Green impact on this series?
Well, Al, a seasoned veteran, rim protecting, and even the intellect of the play late. We all are talking about what Jimmy should have done. Al allowed him to shoot that and then contested it and then got the rebound, by the way. And so for Draymond, he's required to lead their team defensively and to lead them in assists, right? For Al Horford, he's required to lead the team in rebounds and the ability to switch out just like Draymond. Now, here's the thing about this series. This is going to resemble more of the Memphis series for Draymond than the previous series because they have multiple bigs that are just going to be taller than him and just active. Like, Robert Williams going to be catching lobs, grabbing rebounds, blocking shots, same with Al Horford. And so that's going to be sort of similar to how it was when they were going against the tall young bodies in Memphis, like Jaren Jackson Jr. and Steven Adams. And so this is going to be a physical matchup on the interior. But the difference-making thing is which bigs are going to give you offense. Looney found some offense and rebounded in these playoffs. Draymond has 17 in the closeout game. Can Al find you some offense? Can Robert Williams the third give you some points? And here's the other thing. Grant Williams, stay out of foul trouble. Like, his game, when he starts to get in foul trouble, I'm pretty sure his coaches tell him this. Like, your game changes when you're in foul trouble. So just stay out of foul trouble. Stay out of foul trouble, because they're going to need him to be a productive player like he has been all season.
Now, Jaylen, you touched on this earlier, but I want to ask you again about the disparity in finals experience between these two teams. Now, the Celtics have a lot of playoff experience, but this core doesn't have any finals experience. How impactful do you think that will be on this series?
Sweat taught you. You know what it is, Jacoby. You're a veteran, and when I say this, a lot of people are going to feel like it's Beyonce, but they may be young, but they're ready. Hey, just think about this. You show Al Horford's pinky. That ain't no young man. Like, he's played the most games in the league without making to the finals. Chris Paul broke that last season. Okay, so that's a seasoned, grizzled veteran in these playoffs. But you're right. Two best players, both under 25, Brown and Tatum. And it's a great opportunity for them because, again, they have been to the conference finals before. And so now on the going against guys like Wiggins on the other side and Poole, those are the matchups that I can't wait to see. And it's going to be crazy to see if Marcus Smart can consistently get him offense. It's a game changer when he scores.
And we started the show with the great Magic Johnson talking about how it's normal to be nervous and how the lights are brighter in the finals. You played in the finals. How is it different? How is a finals game different than a playoff game?
Center stage on the mic. It's the only two teams playing. Like, the NFL used to kind of get that with Monday Night Football before it came, like, multiple days and multiple games even on that day. But the finals is like, it's like a prize fight. It seems like everything else is stopping and everybody's just focused on this dance floor, this hardwood right here. And what you gotta always do, Jacoby, is master your role. Like, this ain't the time now for you to be trying to go to between the legs, behind the back, if you wasn't doing that all season. This ain't the time for you to be practicing your 25% go-to move. You need to be shooting your 65% go-to move. So things like that. And also going into the playoffs, and Norm Nixon used to always talk to me about this. You got to tighten up that handle. You know what I mean? You got to get up and down, go hard with that thing between the legs, behind the back, crossovers. I'm serious, because off the dribble, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have more turnovers these playoffs than anybody else.
Good point.
Off the dribble, more turnovers than anybody else. So passing and making plays off the dribble is something they struggle with at times. So got to keep that handle tight going into the finals.
Well, these two teams have two stars that do the scoring and they rely on to score. And those two stars are right now the favorites for finals MVP. And you mentioned it earlier, Steph Curry has never been the finals MVP. Who else do you think could potentially come home with this trophy?
Y'all might as well take those odds down. If the Warriors win, Steph getting MVP. I don't care if it's 23 a game or 41% shooting. That'll still lead the team and he'll still get finals MVP. What I would actually really like to see happen is for him to have his best finals and win MVP. That's what I want to see have happen after Klay returned after 941 days. And my guy Draymond just being the anchor down low and Looney developing and Kuminga developing and Moody playing minutes. But Steph Curry, the guy to make it go, Jacoby. You already know this. And if they're going to win, it's going to be because he's shooting them to the MVP and to the championship.
Well, Jaylen, all season long, we focused on two teams on this program, and it was not the Warriors and the Celtics. It was the Lakers and the Nets. There was so much drama around those two franchises, and we have some new information about the Brooklyn Nets that would be pretty surprising to our viewers. You don't want to miss that. Stay tuned. You're watching Jaylen and Jacoby. Coming to you live from the Seaport here in New York City and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jaylen and Jacoby. Jaylen Rose. The key to the Warriors winning the finals is Kendrick Lamar. Take a look at this stat. Every single year that Kendrick Lamar has dropped an album, the Warriors have won the championship. He obviously just dropped Mr. Morale, the Big Steppers, in 2022. Does that guarantee a Warriors championship?
I love because Kendrick this dropped show. An album. So much. Y'all take a picture of that full screen. This is the only show that I put this on ESPN. I love this so much. We embrace the culture in K-Dot and connect it to the championship legacy of the Warriors. It's just a chance for us to tell y'all to listen to Kendrick's album because it's classic. And it's also and it's also another chance to tell y'all that Steph Curry, I don't think, is going to be denied this year.
Ooh.
As I started to go into these finals, I started thinking about, like, he understands that if he wins another championship and he's able to get a finals MVP, they're going to catapult him.
Mm-hmm.
I was debating with Stephen A. about this on Countdown. And ESPN's list of top 75 has Steph like 16 or 17, but has KD 12. I feel like winning this championship has to catapult him above KD. He won before him. He won after him, he won with him. Now if he's able to get a finals MVP, I think that moves him up the list. And I think he understands what does it mean for his legacy?
Well, I'm sure Jason Tatum would also move up in that list if he could bring a championship to Boston. Now, Jalen, while we are not even one game into these finals, it's already time to start thinking about next year's finals. Some of the sports books have put out odds, and Caesars giving the Brooklyn Nets the second best odds to win the title next year. A Nets team that lost 11 straight games last year was a mess, got swept out of the playoffs. What do you think about Brooklyn having the second best odds to win the title next year?
Well, here's what I think about the Warriors having one, Nets having two, Celtics, and go on and on and on. No Lakers. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing that jumped out at me, because going into last season, it was Lakers and Nets as the betting favorites. And obviously we saw Nets be the only team not to win a playoff game, and the Lakers did not make the playoffs. So as the Nets are going to get reinforcements, KD healthy, hopefully a full-time, Kyrie, Joe Harris, Ben Simmons, we're now looking at these odds wondering who the Lakers going to get. Shout out to my brother Darvin Ham. He definitely deserved a job. He's going to do an amazing job with the team. But I believe there's a pre-LeBron roster and a post-LeBron roster that they're building. But for the Nets, I ain't mad at those odds. They've been together. Kyrie has played, what, for the better part of, well, Kyrie's been on their team four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And KD's played basically three seasons. And yes, I am surprised that they haven't been to the finals, let alone won a championship.
Well, before KD got hurt, they were up high in the Eastern Conference standings, so we'll see what happens next year. But we still have the finals to get ready for this year. But we have an interesting story from Super Bowl champion Aaron Donald. He is currently not going to OTAs with the Rams, just won the Super Bowl, and said, "I don't need to play football anymore." Mr. Rose, is this him sort of at a new place in his life after winning a championship, or is this just him negotiating through the media?
I just like the symmetry of how I was about to put an exclamation point on the KD Kyrie conversation, and now I can do it by saying I saw Aaron Donald as I was watching Boston play against the Heat, two teams that now I see the Celtics in the finals without Kyrie against the Warriors without KD, and I got a chance to get a big fella dap. And I told him, congratulations. And while I know it seems like an athlete, you know, wants to, like, play at all costs and, like, you know, survival of the fittest. Like, I'm going to die on the field. You know, like, that I want my mortality to happen during the football game. Now, players are just smarter and more sophisticated. And I got another word. Richer. Let me say that again out loud. Richer. So you don't have to take those risks. So if you him and you seeing the kind of money Tyreek Hill getting and Devontae Adams getting and Aaron Rodgers getting, you gotta be walking into the office like, it's my turn. And if you're not getting that kind of money and you're him, it may not be worth it. I don't think he's going to walk away from the game, but I do think this is going to cost the Rams more money. If the Lions thought we would have had to put Deion Sanders on layaway to draft him, imagine how Aaron Donald about to cost the Rams for real, for real.
Mm-hmm. And let's not forget how their season ended with that Aaron Donald making the play, making the sack of Joe Burrow to seal the Super Bowl title for the Los Angeles Rams. That is going to cost him, and he deserves every single penny of
no
what is
doubt.
Coming to him. What is coming to you right after this short break? More Jalen and Jacoby. Stay tuned.
Get the people
watching J&J.
What they want.
It is finals time on ABC Game 1, Thursday night, 9 p.m., 8:30. Countdown crew, get you ready for the big game. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, every single time we have a show and Brittany Griner remains detained in Russia, we're going to recognize another day, and here we are 103 days later.
Go to wearebg.org and sign the petition. We here at Jalen and Jacoby wish her a speedy, safe return to the United States.
Jalen, we are so focused on the Celtics-Warriors matchup, but it's worth mentioning the Miami Heat, who fell short in Game 7. Do you expect them to contend next year in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I look at it like this. Pat Riley's going to return making decisions. He's going to be collaborating with Eric Spoelstra, who I feel like is the best coach in the NBA. Jimmy Butler was dominant in the playoffs. Bam Adebayo got confident and productive as the playoffs progressed. So absolutely, continue to add to the team. But here's what they got to do. They got to address the guard spot. Like, it was great to see Kyle Lowry be a veteran out there and sacrificing his body and trying to get charges and trying to get rebounds. But they need somebody that's going to make some shots.
Yep.
They need somebody that's going to make the game easier for Bam and for Jimmy with ball handling responsibilities, with quickness and things of that nature. It was good found money in Gabe Vincent and Strus, and it's great that those guys are playing well. But I think they're going to have to really address that and get Jimmy and hope to keep Tyler Hero healthy and he continue to grow as a player also.
It is time for cultural or regional. Let's go. Jalen Rose, our colleague Ben McDonald did something that is so absolutely cultural and regional that I can't wait to show you this video. Again, this is our colleague. He works for ESPN. That's an armadillo, Jalen Rose. And he just grabs it like it's nothing. Grabbing an armadillo, Jalen Rose, cultural or regional?
I respect him. That's definitely cultural because when you're from the background I'm from, you look at all of those type of wild animals as a threat to your health. When people that look like you see those animals as an opportunity to prove that I can dominate them.
I don't think I've ever seen an armadillo in my whole entire life. I definitely wouldn't be touching it. I cannot believe that this dude just straight up grabbed an armadillo for no reason, like just for fun, just because that's, you know, just because it was Thursday. That's what he felt like doing. Tomorrow we have Jim Jones and Mano on the show. We'll be back tomorrow, ESPN 2, 4 p.m.
Check us out.
We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen, we have special guests coming on the program tomorrow. Who is that?
The Lobby Boys, Jim Jones and Mano, will be joining Jalen and Jacoby to talk about their latest project, to talk about their favorite movies featuring rappers, why fitness is important, and so much more. Mano, Jim Jones. We'll be joining Jalen and Jacoby tomorrow.
Lobby Boys, get it done. The Ones Who Get It Done is brought to you by Grainger. For those who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support and access to product specialists. Call, click, or stop by Grainger.com. Jalen Rose, a couple things I want to discuss with you. Number one, do you remember the impression that CJ McCollum made upon us during the job interview about 10 years ago when he was at the Combine? Well, now CJ McCollum is joining ESPN and he'll be streaming during the NBA Finals.
If we really own our beam, and I know you're gonna talk to the Podfather today, we should actually get that footage. No surprises that not only did he become a productive NBA player, but obviously, sky's the limit for his potential in multimedia. And when I was a player and I saw John Sally working on Best Damn Sports Show, and I saw Jason Williams of the Nets working on NBC while he was playing, like, that inspired me. Because I thought that Jason Williams was the first guy that while he was playing was working in the media. And I was like, yo, I want to try to do that. He doesn't get discussed clearly because of, you know, what he got himself into. And so as the media space happens, this would be, as you know, my 20th consecutive year. And clearly I was doing it for 6 years while I was still playing. So it's like playing the 2000 finals, cover the 2002 finals, retire in 2007. But you know what's surprising to me? That it took Draymond Green 20 years later to follow in my footsteps. It shouldn't have taken that long.
It seems like Well, especially with the barriers of entry are so low now to be in the media game because everyone can have a podcast so easily. It's not necessarily like when you were a player, you had to sort of get co-signed by a television network and get hired and have a camera crew and all that. So, you know, just the way that media has shifted has made it much more easier for players to get involved. And I'm very happy to have CJ McCollum involved with us.
He's going to do a great job, but we definitely need to pull up some of that footage. That'll be classic J&J footage and Grantland stuff that I would enjoy seeing.
Jalen Rose.
What up, though?
Is Aaron Donald going to play football?
Yes. He'll be playing football. Here's what happens as an athlete and as a player. It's almost like paid in full. I could lead a game. Fans still going to love me, though.
Mm-hmm.
And what is he going to do in his life that's going to pay him $30 million a year? Well, and what else is he going to do in life where he's the absolute greatest at it of all time, possibly? Like, those are different things as a player and as an athlete. At some point, like, people try to clown you for what you did or didn't accomplish as a player. But imagine what I could say about the person that thought they were going to make it and didn't. He made it, and now he's a champion. And so he just telling the Rams, I got a ring. I made more bread than I thought I'd ever make, and I've accomplished more in my life than, you know, I accomplished so much in my life, and I'm so very grateful that if I didn't accomplish anything else, I would be satisfied. But then there's the fine print. You know how, like, when you watch an alcohol commercial or a gambling commercial, where it's like everything is in bold, except the label, and you gotta get some binoculars, and you gotta get a magnifying glass to actually read what they're trying to really say. Like, all of the side effects, like, oh, it might ruin your kidneys, it might kill your lungs, you might have to call five people in order to help you out of the bed, it might give you nausea, it might give you headaches, it might cause you like, whoa, maybe I shouldn't take that.
So sometimes they got some wild stuff. They're like, you know, side effects can include death, yeah, suicidal thoughts,
right?
Violent diarrhea. I'm like, well, what are we talking about here? I thought I was gonna take some vitamin C. I don't know, we can get all, they act like it's mad casual, but some of this stuff is serious. I'm like, why you gotta say violent diarrhea? Damn, I ain't playing with that.
So as I look deeper in the box score, he's just telling them to give me top dollar money. I'm not selling for a penny less.
He's getting it. Now, Jalen, I'm a retired Gentlemen's Club attendee. I'm too old and washed now. I've got children. But one thing I never did is the whole, like, hire an erotic entertainer to come to your crib, you know, like one of those moves. But the New York Post has a story where a woman was hired for her brother's bachelor party. Her own brother's bachelor party. What happens when she walks through the door, Mr. Rose?
Did he know she was a stripper?
I don't know the details. You know I don't like follow-up questions.
Okay. That's just a coincidence. You know what I mean? Now, you just gotta charge that to fate. And it's one thing for it to be a sister. It would have been something else if it would have been like his future wife or something like that. His sister, no big deal. Hey, sis, call up some of your friends. I know you got some friends in your phone. I know you got some coworkers in your phone.
She says, quote, I ended up being the stripper at my brother's bachelor party and I didn't realize until I was completely naked.
Well, you ready? Where's LL when I need him? That's a lie. That's a lie. You were willing to get the money from your brother's friends and other family members to dance at the bachelor party. Because one thing that happens at a bachelor party, if you've ever been to one, everybody called themselves being discreet, but his name got said like 15 times while she was dancing. We can't wait for you to show Jacoby a great time. He'll be here in 30 minutes. He about to get married. They give you all the details of the wife. Yeah, they getting married tomorrow. Then you hear other people complaining about it. Like, he too, you know, I don't know. I don't think it's going to last that long. You know, that time when I saw them together, she wasn't really even, or that time when he was, and then she already hearing all of this. You know, just get your bread. But the one thing I want to know is, did she call more friends? That's when she could have been an asset too. And here's the other thing. I flag his friends. He does not have good friends hosting this party for him. Y'all no. supposed to know his sister is a stripper and not have her, of all people in New York City. Like, y'all finding a stripper is almost like me finding a barber. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think it's a million zillion barbers in New York, but then Jalen only used one. It's a million zillion strippers in New York City, and y'all only using one? Y'all don't communicate? Like, jeez.
There's also a story here in the post, because you asked a follow-up question, so I had to read it. There's a story of a woman who put a tracker on her boyfriend's car. Okay, first of all, that's a violation, number one. And then followed him to a strip club, and then went on stage to confront him at the strip club. Soft move or boss move, tracking your boyfriend to a strip club and then going on stage.
That's all the way soft. Because here's what I want to teach her. You making this too much about you. You see what I'm saying, family? Like, first and foremost, if you gotta put a tracking device on his car, that means you don't trust him, which means you probably shouldn't be in a relationship with him. Mm. That's one. And two, going to a strip club ain't illegal.
No.
So now you're in the strip club, you're out of pocket on stage, in violation, you're the one gonna get in trouble with security, not him.
Well, once you start putting the tracker on his car, the relationship's over.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I mean?
A violation.
Like, if going through phones and tracking, yeah, and you know what I mean, and it's sharing locations and all that, like
that's going out like that.
No, that's too much. That's too much.
That was all about her.
I got some information about the Detroit Tigers.
I got some information about the New York Post. Make sure you check out Renaissance Man every Thursday.
Renaissance Man every Thursday.
This week's guest was Jay Ellis.
Podcast and column. Who we got this week?
This week's guest was Jay Ellis of Top Gun Maverick.
That movie was one of the best movies I've ever seen.
And Reg DeLange flagged something that you tweeted that I want to talk about on the show.
Okay.
What was your tweet about Top Gun Maverick?
I said it was one of the best movies I've ever seen, and then I said, what would your fighter pilot alias be?
You use an F-bomb in there to accentuate your point.
I was excited. I was very excited about the movie. It's one of the best movies I've ever
seen.
You know what? Every time I swear in social media, you point it out. You're like my dad. I can't use an F-bomb once in a while. Every time, you point it out. Like, do I have to start sending you drafts of my tweets? Get them approved by you, Dad?
Not at all. No, but I want to talk about the content of the tweet.
Okay.
Shout to Jerry Bruckheimer, fellow Detroiter. Interviewed him also for Renaissance Man. And we also had another actor on this show.
John Hamm.
From the movie also.
Admiral Simpson.
Are you embellishing that just a little?
Embellishing what?
Your feelings about the movie.
No. Doug, I cried like 6 times. I was crying so much I was hiding my tears from Quincy, who was sitting next to me. Like, it was emotional, man. It was one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life.
It was awesome. It was an awesome movie, a 36-year reboot. But here's something that the only time I ever cried in a movie, Boys in the Hood.
Mm. I cry easy, though. You know I'm die easy and cry easy.
That was the only time. Ricky!
You know I'm die easy and cry easy.
Ricky! I was like, no! I was like, wait a minute.
What are you and Reg having little conversations about my tweet about, huh? What's wrong with coming up with my call sign? My fighter pilot alias.
I just wanted to know if it was embellished. That was my whole thing.
No, I love that movie. And I decided that my alias would be Screwball. That would be my name. My name would be Screwball if I was a fighter pilot. What's your name? What's your fighter pilot name?
My fighter pilot name would be one of my old school names, Slow Motion.
Slow Motion. Slow Mo. I think they only let you have 2 syllables.
Yeah.
So you'd be Slow Mo.
Yeah, I'll be
good
slow.
Good for
mom.
You. I don't even want to know how you got the name Slow Motion. I do want to hear from our audience. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. And If you just leave his voicemail, like that, and you give like Reggie a shout, you'll get on the pod, just like this.
Hey, Jalen. Hey, Jacoby. Shout out, Reg. I'm calling from the great state of Michigan, the Upper Peninsula. It is cold here, so me and my husband, we are going down to Miami in a couple weeks to celebrate our one-year anniversary. We've been together for 10, but getting married for one. So I was just wondering, the Miami Gentlemen's Club, is that a weird thing to do, to go out to a gentlemen's club and celebrate your anniversary? All right, let me know what you think. What else can we do there? We want to have some fun, but, you know, we want to celebrate, you know, our love, too. So thanks, guys. Love ya.
Not weird at all. Sounds like a great plan. Me and my lady have been to a couple gentlemen's establishments in our day. It's very couple friendly. Yeah, it's good for you. Celebrate that anniversary. Good for you guys. Go celebrate. Go, you know, in the Upper Peninsula, she's cold. She wants to go to Miami and celebrate. And what else should she do, Jalen Rose?
Thank you. Our producer, Brandy, is against the idea, but I want to give some levity to my friend who represents Memphis. Celebrations are more than just one day.
Mm.
Let me repeat, everyone, don't put so much pressure on yourself, whether it's a birthday, a holiday, an anniversary, for it to happen only that day. How many days do I celebrate my birthday, Jacoby?
Well, usually it's about a month, but we got a big one coming up. I mean, we got a big one coming up. It might just be a year.
Exactly. Because
you turn it 50. That's right. A big round number. You got to celebrate that one.
Yes. So don't put so much pressure on yourself. So you're from the Upper Peninsula. And for those that don't know, I don't want this to go over your head. It's literally cold up there right now. I know right now in New York, y'all think it's a little chilly.
Oh, it's hot.
It's like 40 it's like 90 and 50 today. At night. Or in LA when it's 70 and y'all think it's a little windy. No, it's really cold in the Upper Peninsula. It's winter time. So now you get a chance to, so you know what ain't happening there? Great strip clubs. So that's a whole different world, right? That's just a whole different world. So now you go to Miami. First off, wherever you decide to stay, depending on your budget or whatever, of course it's gonna have a pool, so it's gonna be accommodations there.
Mm-hmm.
Try to pick a hotel where you feel like you're gonna spend a lot of time there.
Yeah.
It might have a good spa, has a good pool, might be near the beach, might be near wherever you're trying to go, might be near some restaurants. Like, the proximity does matter in these cases. So maybe you wanna stay in Brickell, maybe you wanna stay in South Beach. Like, wherever you decide to stay, that's the first thing. Second thing is your anniversary. So have a great dinner, do a spa day, go to a great breakfast, and go to the strip club.
Enjoy yourself.
Absolutely do
it. Celebrate. Been together for 10 years. Celebrate.
And you're gonna go somewhere else and hear music and have drinks, and it's gonna be dark in there, and it's gonna be after 10 o'clock. You might as well add the adult entertainment establishment as one of those places.
I support you. Don't listen to Brandy. When we.
And I gotta say one other thing.
Don't get us in trouble.
She's ride or die too.
Don't get fired.
She's ride or die. You know why? Been with him 10 years.
10 years. Good for her.
And
she listens to Jalen and Jacoby.
You ride or die. He lucky
we'll be
to
back
have you.
Tomorrow to have you. With Jim Jones and Mano on the pod. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
And he really lucky to have you because you listen and call in to Jalen and Jacoby and left a voicemail. I love this show. We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.